Loving us. I just feel a deep sense of God's love all around this building this morning. And as we sing this next song, can we just thank Him for the goodness He's done in our lives? He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, I realize just how beautiful You are and how great Your affections are for me. And oh, how He loves us so. Oh, how He loves us. How He loves us so.
How He loves us. How He loves us. the most beautiful things about the love that we receive from Jesus is that nothing can separate us from it. The Bible tells us how nor death nor life, not even angels in heaven, can separate us from the love of Jesus. And why is that good news, Corey? Why should I care that I can't be separated from the love of Jesus? You should care because it's in that love where we receive protection. It's in that love where we receive grace. It's in that love where we receive mercy. It's even in that love where we receive correction. And so, I don't know, I feel like some of us have forgotten that the Lord really loves us. Because people have let us down, because people have forgotten how to love us, because people have taken advantage of the love that we've given. But can I remind you that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Meaning, it is impossible for him to forsake you. It is impossible. I won't tell you that when he moves, it may not hurt sometimes, but it is impossible for him to forsake you. So this morning, let your heart not be troubled on whether or not God has your situation, whether or not God still has purpose, because he does. He does. His love is still everlasting. His love is still merciful. His love is still gracious, and it's waiting for you. He has not forgotten you. He has not forgotten you this morning. Can we just sing that one time? He loves us. He loves us. Oh, he still loves you. He loves you way more than you love yourself. His love is forever. He loves us. Yes, you do, Jesus. You love us. And so, Lord, this morning we thank you for your love. God, thank you that nothing can separate us from it. Thank you that you invite us into relationship with you, that you invite us to commune with you. Thank you that you find it not robbery to give us life, to give us breath, another opportunity to grow in our walk with you. We ask that in this moment, as your Holy Spirit is already resting here, continue to move as only you can, heal as only you can, deliver as only you can, set free as only you can. Bless our pastor this morning as he gives us a word that is clear and concise and applicable. We can apply it to our lives. We thank you and we honor you in the love of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. If you believe that this morning, can we give God a shout this morning? Oh no, that's good for us. We're talking about Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who's worthy of all of our worship, all of our honor, and all of the praise. You guys can be seated this morning. Take your seats, get cozy, take your seats. Good morning again. Okay, guys, we go through this every two Sundays. Like you would think by now, we have gotten it together. So we're going to try it again. Good morning. Thank you. So if I haven't had the privilege and the honor of meeting you, my name is Corey. My friends call me Corey, so you can call me Corey too. I get the privilege and the honor of being our students' pastor here. And on behalf of our lead pastors, Pastor Wallace and Pastor Joy Phillips, we want to thank you guys for worshiping with us this morning here at the Carpenter Shop. If I'd have known no better, I didn't think y'all go here. I know most of y'all go here. I've seen you. Okay. For those watching us online, listen, thank you guys for worshiping with us this morning as well. I believe that the Lord is already here. His presence is already here. If it's not, if you don't feel it, it's probably you. You're probably the problem. No, I'm joking. A little. But no, I believe that the Lord has something special for you, that you're not here by a coincidence or by an accident, that he intended for this moment to be just for you, where he meets you right where you are. Amen. So just a few announcements this morning. Listen, for our first time visitors, we want to thank you guys for coming to hang with us for a little while, for about 4 hours. You can't leave now. We've already locked the doors. But no, we really do appreciate you guys for coming. So listen, after service this morning in the foyer, we will have a gift especially just for you. We want to meet you. We want to see your name and your face and find out where you live and your social security number and your debit card information. And listen, and it's so funny how, like, when you visit new churches, it just seems like they ask you for a lot of information. Like, they ask you for your name, your whole name. Like, I want your whole name. When were you born? Where were you born? Who's your emergency contact? Because some of y'all still in y'all 40s and 50s still putting mom and dad as y'all emergency contacts. But that's none of my, they're laughing because it's true. That's none of my concerns. The Lord still loves you, but you're your emergency contact now. You're a grown up. Anyway, so yeah, we have a special gift for you. Also, I know you guys have probably seen around the church, some of us have on some of our church merch here. I got mine covered up because y'all know, y'all already know the FAT thing. See, Pastor Wallace don't like saying that. I don't mind saying that. I'm bald and fat, so like, double struggle. But no, listen, if you are interested in grabbing a shirt or anything like that, we'll also have those in the foyer as well after service. The last announcement before we receive a video from our pastor is next Sunday, we will be doing our carnival, emphasis on the like. So in your mind, if you're not looking at the TVs already, in your mind, just look, just like see the word C-A-R capital and then the nivel at the end. Yeah. So this is our opportunity for us to reach out to our community, for the kids to come to play some games, win some prizes, and have a great time. But listen, we are taking donations for candy. Pastor Miranda isn't in here. She's working with the kids. But I will vouch on her behalf. We will gladly accept your donations to feed your children candy and give them back to you. Free up. Just because we love you, we will give y'all kids back after we've already, like, shot them up with sugar. That's great. But yes, so yeah, if you would love to, please, you can bring, if you have them this Sunday, great. If not, no worries. We will gladly take them the day of. We're not going to be mad at it at all. Cool? All right, so if you guys can turn your attentions to the screens for a word from our pastor.
Hello, CSIC family. It's Pastor Wallace here, and I wanted to come to you today with a great sense of excitement and joy over what God has accomplished in 2023. We're nearing the end of a year and facing the beginning of a brand new one, and today I'm just thankful for a number of salvations and water baptisms and life changes that have taken place in this wonderful sanctuary right here on Catherine Creek Road in Ahoskie. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but around the campus, we've made a few positive changes. We cleaned up 6 acres of woodland behind us, clearing it out to look at the future of a park where some picnic tables, some families can gather, have a picnic or whatever. We also added 40 parking spaces on the backside of the property. It's exciting to see what God is doing. We purchased a brand new church van, CSIC van, that the youth is using on a regular basis, and it's so exciting to see them to have transportation to go where they need to go and do what they need to do. Such an exciting time. I'm excited about changes that are coming our way. We've already begun to remodel the cafe. It'll be open very soon. Also in the sanctuary, I'm excited about a brand new look for 2024. We're working on carpeting. We're working on ceiling, new flooring. 425 brand new theater style seats. I can't wait to get it done, and I know that you're excited about it also. When you look at the cost of that, it's about $235 for a seat. Why don't you consider today purchasing your seat, maybe your family's, make it a goal. Why don't you even purchase a seat for somebody who's yet to be saved? I'm excited about what God is doing at Carpenter Shop International Church.
That was where you're supposed to clap. But no, listen, as you guys saw in the video, there's a lot of great things happening in the life of our church. And this is a moment and an opportunity where we all can play a role in it. You know, Pastor Joy mentioned it last week. Homes go through renovations, right? The roof starts leaking, you know? Things break. Sorry, I'm baby adult, guys. I'm still learning, like, renovations and stuff. Bear with me. The point being, we have to take care of house. We have to take care of our home, right? And so this is an opportunity for us to play a part in taking care of our home and, most of all, building God's house. Amen? Because everybody that comes to those doors may not stay, right? So before we go into giving, I just received this, and I'm just going to read it verbatim so I don't mess it up. So good morning, CSIC fam. It's that time of year again, a time for us to show our leaders just how much they mean to us. As many of you know, it is Pastor Appreciation Month, and we're sending out this letter as a way for you to bless our pastors. This year marks 31 years that Pastor Wallace, yep. This year marks 31 years that Pastor Wallace and Pastor Joy have served us here at CSIC, and so let's work together to make this year one that they won't soon forget. Enclosed is an envelope you can utilize with your gift. There will be a table set up for you to leave gifts, cards with words of encouragement, thank you notes, and or gift cards, whatever you feel led to do. Big and small tokens are appreciated. The elders of CSIC have set aside Sunday, November 5th, as the Sunday to honor our leaders in the worship gathering at 10 o'clock a.m. Your generosity and kindness is valued. Let's express our love to our leaders as they continue to give of themselves to love and serve here at CSIC. Signed, Elder Dorothy Holland. So guys, listen, I echo all of this. I think it is important for us to pour into our pastors. Why? Because we don't know what they deal with outside of dealing with our stuff too. Outside of dealing with our stuff too. Expecting our pastors to pray for us, but don't serve them. Okay, this is not for me to attack. I'm not attacking y'all. I promise I'm not attack mode. I just really believe that, like, if you pour out every single week and you're praying for your church body weekly, is it robbery for us to take this one moment to honor the man and the woman who choose to serve Jesus, to seek Jesus on behalf of us, and to deliver the message to us? I think that's pretty important, yeah? Amen, amen. So listen, this is, Miss Dorothy, this is going to be sent out. It's in the mail now, so check your mailboxes, check your P.O. boxes. Amen, praise the Lord. Listen, if you send the envelope back, do not send it back empty. Because I'm going to ask Miss Dorothy where it came from. And you're going to see a black Pathfinder outside. Okay. All right. But listen, this is a moment in our worship experience where we all can participate. It's our worship through giving. On the screens, they'll have some ways that you guys can give. We also have buckets here at the altar. I'm going to pray, and then you can bring your gifts. Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to give unto you. We thank you that as we build your house, you are continuing to build ours. We thank you for our pastors. Thank you for giving them 31 years of service. Thank you for 31 years of seeking you, honoring you, and blessing our house as a result of their obedience to you. We love you. We praise you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can bring your gifts.
If you know that he's a way maker, can I see your hands lifted? Yeah. I want you to make it personal. We all know that God has done something for us. Yeah, that private conversation that no one else knew about. Yeah. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. Help me sing it if you know it. I worship you. 'Cause you are a way maker, miracle worker, promise. In the darkness, my God, that is who you are. I'm gonna sing it again. You are a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. say Waymaker.
Waymaker, miracle worker.
Promise keeper.
Promise keeper.
Yeah.
Light in the dark.
If he did it for you,
my God,
that's who he is. But you love us anyway. Yeah, yeah, we mess up. We mess up. But that embarrassment, that guilt, that shame, he reaches down. And I thank him. Woo. That is who you are. Say that. Depression, anxiety, bitterness, unforgiveness. Lord, thank you for being who you are to us, Jesus. For making a way, for keeping your promises. That is who you are. And we worship you on this morning just to say thank you. We open up our hearts. We lift our hands this morning. And we give it all to you, Jesus. Because you can handle it better than we can. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Help me sing it. Who you are.
Come on, worship the Lord, y'all. That's who he is this morning. He's the God who does not fail. Come on. Hallelujah. He's the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper. Hey, has anybody ever made you a promise that they didn't fulfill? Mighty disappointing, isn't it? God's not like that. His promises, the Bible says, are what? Yes and amen. Over 7,000 promises in the Bible. Yes and amen to those who believe. Come on, let's give him praise one more time, could we? Hallelujah. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Come on. Promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Come on, give him a hand of worship this morning. Hallelujah. I believe he's going to do it today for some of you. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand with me as we pray this morning, would you? Father, in Jesus' name, mighty and strong, we stand to our feet today in expectancy, God, of what you desire to do among us today. We stand, God, in honor of your presence, Lord. We stand, God, in honor of your name, who you are, what you stand for, your character, your attributes, all of who you are, Lord. You are a way maker, and we declare that in this room today. We declare that online today. God, we ask you to move among us today. Give us an altar service, God, where we can seek your face. In Jesus' powerful name, amen and amen. Amen. Come on, high five somebody before you're seated. Shake somebody's hand before you're seated. Smile at someone before you're seated. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team, for leading us into the presence of God. I want to speak a message to you this morning that I've simply entitled Fan into Flame. Fan into Flame. It was several years ago, I was invited to join a group of guys on a ministry camping trip. I must say that's a bit out of my norm for a night or two away. I like thermostats on the wall, central heat and air conditioning, private toilets that flush, beds with nice mattress and springs, and of course, swimming pools are a must. Amen. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? I like those things. My idea of a night or two away sounds like the Sheraton or the Hilton. Come on, somebody. Amen. All of this packing up all this stuff, carrying it everywhere, creating some sort of home in the woods. I'm not sure I was raised to do that. Amen. If you like camping, don't be offended, okay? Go ahead in the woods, dig you a hole, and use the bathroom. It'll be all right with me, all right? I remember very well that trip. The first duty was to build a bathroom. They told us what we were going to do. I was like, build a bathroom? What are you talking about? We've got all this woods around here. Yeah, but we're going to have a bathroom. And, you know, four poles, huge roll of black plastic paper for walls, a big hole in the ground, and a hand washing station. Come on, 5-gallon bucket and a roll of paper towels, y'all, all right? And we're building a bathroom. I remember gathering the sticks. This is the part I probably remember the most. I remember gathering sticks because, you know, we gotta have a fire. We gotta cook, and it was gonna get chilly as it already was. We gotta stay warm. And so I remember gathering the sticks and the dry wood, and the fire is probably what I remember the most because I didn't grow up this way, all right? Somebody say he's spoiled, y'all. I just didn't grow up this way. So it was a bit fascinating. They were struggling just a little bit to get it started. Okay? And I'm just watching because I don't want to get in there and make an idiot of myself because I don't know what I'm doing. I never started a fire intentionally. Okay? Pastor Joy, come on. It's a long story. I won't get to it today, but I burnt the entire waterfront property up that I live on from bottom to the top. It was as black as this carpet is I'm standing on. I just had an accident. 2 years ago, I was burning pine cones. And I was fascinated because of all the pine cones that had fallen down. So I started to count them. I got me a 55-gallon drum. 1, 2, 3, 4. I put 437 pine cones in a 55-gallon drum. Set them on the edge of my property, right on top of the bulkhead. Put a little gas in there. Struck a match. Okay. We got a fire, right? So I just went about my business cleaning up the rest of the yard. The next day, my neighbor comes over and he says, "Hey, man, I got up this morning, early in the morning, and I noticed your bulkhead was on fire." I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, your bulkhead's on fire. I had to hire somebody to come and repair my bulkhead because somehow or another, one little pine cone went, popped out of the barrel, landed up on top of my dry, salt-treated bulkhead, and burned out about 20 feet of it. It cost me $2,000 to burn them pine cones, y'all. I know how to start fires, but not intentionally, okay?" So I remember when they started the fire, I remember the guys were having a little bit of struggle, you know, getting it going. So they're getting down. I saw one guy just kind of get down, you know, on his knee, and he got down real low, and he's down there, and he's doing this. And I'm watching him, y'all, okay? And he's inhaling, he's exhaling, and all of a sudden I saw something go shoo, like that. Oh, we got a little hope here. That little bit of flame caught that dry kindling wood, and man, a few more blows, and it was over with. They were stacking dry wood on that fire, and it wasn't long. It wasn't about an hour later, man. We had a nice red-hot bed of coals that would last us the duration of that camping trip because we would keep it going. So you know what he had to do? He had to fan it into flame. Okay? A principle I've never forgotten. So should I ever go on a camping trip, which is not likely, okay? Should I ever go on a camping trip, I'm going to be the first one to say, "Hey, you want me to get the fire started?" And they're going to probably look back at me and say, I didn't think you did intentional fires, okay? But I think I got this one, all right? Fanning into flame. Let's look at 2 Timothy this morning. For this is what the Lord is speaking to my spirit this week. It's Paul's second letter to Timothy. He wrote two of them, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. You got them in your New Testament. Timothy is Paul's spiritual son in the faith. Timothy is the young man that Paul is mentoring. He's pouring his life into him. Remember, Paul writes his first letter to Timothy. He's incarcerated, but he gets out of jail. But when he writes his second letter to Timothy, Paul doesn't have any hope of being released. It's go to jail, go directly to jail, do not pass go, do not collect $200. He's in there, man. And it's not going to be long before he's going to be standing before Nero, the emperor, because Nero is the emperor of Rome, and Nero has a reputation of brutally dealing with people who are preaching Jesus Christ. It's not going to be long before tradition tells us that he does what to Paul? He takes his head off for preaching the gospel. He's decapitated for preaching the gospel. Timothy has received the gospel. He has the honor of working with Paul, and Paul is doing his dead level best to pour into this young man. He's equipping him. So let's look at what he says to him in 2 Timothy chapter 1. The verses are 5 to 7. He says in verse 5, "For I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason," he says in verse 6, "because of this, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is," look at what it says here, "which is in you." Somebody say it's in you. Somebody say it's in me. Come on. Say it again. It's in me. He says, "I want you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." Today, I'd like to unpack these three simple verses and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to all of us. First of all, I'd like to tell you, we all have a spark. Come on. Some of y'all may be sitting next to somebody and you think, man, I don't know, this person I'm sitting next to, they ain't raised a hand, they ain't sung a note, they won't even smile. I don't know if there's a spark here or not. You know, how many of y'all are sitting beside a person like that? Please don't raise your hand right now, okay? I mean, listen, we all have a spark. Paul tells Timothy in verse 5, hey, listen, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. He goes ahead and he tags Timothy with sincere faith. He said, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. It first lived where? In your grandmother Lois, and it came from where? And your mother Eunice. And he says, I am persuaded now lives in you also. Paul appeals to that which was begun in the godly influence that Timothy had on his life. He had a grandmother named Lois. Her name means superior. Lois, her name means superior. And she did a superior job at doing what? Passing faith along to her family. How many of y'all like grandkids? I do. I got 7 of them. Okay? And I like playing with them. I like FaceTime last night with them. It was so fun. Seeing Eli run across the room. I can think that, you know, Lois here, she doesn't have the joys of FaceTime. She doesn't have all that technology. But I can just think that when Timothy was just a little one, I can think in my mind and would probably remember that there were times when she was just walking around playing with little Timothy and she's saying, oh, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Bless your little heart. For you shall love the Lord your God, Timothy. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, little boy. All your soul, all your mind, all your strength. She did something, friends, to pour the power of God's character and his word into Timothy's life. She was superior in what she did. Because Paul says that this woman has what? She has a sincere faith. Somebody say sincere faith. She had a sincere faith. And she passed that faith along to her daughter, Eunice. Notice here that there's no mention of a man involved. Have you noticed that? There's no mention here of some godly man. However, if you study the Bible, you'll discover in the book of Acts, chapter number 16, it tells us that Timothy's father was a heathen Greek. He's a heathen Greek. He's not a godly man. So the influence that Timothy has comes from his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. Let me tell you, the very best that you can have is a godly mom and dad. That's the very best. My question for you this morning is, what are you depositing into your children? Are you depositing a godly lifestyle, a high standard of holiness and righteousness into your children? Or you just kind of put them in the TV and say, look, watch what you want. I got work to do. And you leave it to them today to choose what they watch. You're doing a bad thing. You're doing a bad thing. Even the cartoons today are corrupt. Even the cartoons today are teaching principles that are just not true. And let me tell you something. It doesn't say anything about a man here, and this is the case sometimes. The very best you can have is a godly mom and a godly dad, but sometimes you just don't have the guys who man up. Come on, y'all. We just don't have the men who stand up and take spiritual authority in their homes, and something men do not do, they are called to do it, and in many cases in the Christian heritage and legacy is passed down by the women of the house. That's the case here. The spark is there because Lois and Eunice were godly women. The spark is there because of their, as the Bible says, sincere faith. And the reality is that there are some of us here today that you may not have had the spark in your dad, and you may not have even had a spark in your mom or your grandma, but come on, y'all, God has placed some godly, spiritual moms and dads in your life. You had someone to come along and show you the way when you didn't know what you were doing, when you couldn't make any sense out of life. God sent some godly people, come on, y'all, in your life, and you're thankful for them. Just like it was at that campfire I spoke of, there was a potential for fire in Timothy's life. There was a potential for it, and he had godly mom, godly grandmom that were able to take that spark and move it into a flame. When the disciples fed the 5,000, you remember the miracle? They didn't have everything they needed. Sometimes spiritually, you just don't have what you need. They didn't have everything they needed. They told Jesus in Matthew 14, verse 17, we have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But Jesus took the little, come on, and turned it into more than enough. He's El Shaddai. He took the little here. It was just a spark of something to eat, but he turned it into the first buffet. Amen? And they had more than enough. They had food left over. You may not think you have what you need to do what God has placed in your heart, but it only takes a spark. I grew up in the Baptist church. I remember singing that old song. It only takes a spark, come on, y'all, to get a fire going, and then all those around can warm up with it. So here we go, glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you want to pass it on. How many of y'all remember that old Baptist song? Come on. Listen, I might be old, but I ain't forgot. Come on, y'all. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. It only takes a spark. Jesus took that little and turned it into more than enough. You may not think you have what you need sitting here this morning. You may think, you know what, I have desire in my heart, but I just feel like, you know, I want to do more for God. I want to be the person God's called me to be, but I just feel like I'm one step forward, two step back, or I can't even get one step forward. I wish I could do more for the kingdom of God, but I feel like I'm alone in it. I just need somebody to help me. Listen, Zechariah chapter 4, verse number 10, New Living Translation. Do not despise small beginnings. God has a spark in your heart, a spark in your life, a spark in your spirit, and a spark is all it takes. That's all it takes. Zerubbabel in the Bible, if you study the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem, Zerubbabel was responsible for one thing, and you know what that was? The plumb line. That was a responsibility. It may not sound like much, but when the temple was being rebuilt, Zerubbabel was responsible for the plumb line. It seemed like a small task, an insignificant task, but it was key to keeping the walls lined up correctly. It was key to keeping the work of God Almighty true. It had to be straight. Amen? It was a small thing, but it was like a spark to get that building started. All of us have spark potential. All of us have this spark potential in our lives. No, you may not have had a godly dad. You may not have had a godly mom. Or you may not have even had a spiritual father or a spiritual mother to help you along the way. But let me tell you something. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 12. When Paul talks about the body spiritually, he says this, Romans 12 verse 3. Every man is dealt, come on y'all, a measure of faith. Every one of us in this room have been dealt a measure of faith. You got enough sense to know the heavens declare the glory of God, the earth displays his power. You've got enough to see the revelation of God in your life. You've got a spark of faith in your life. If you don't have anybody to you encourage you, God will encourage you. You have the spark. You have the potential. God has placed it inside of you. Secondly, we're called to fan it into flame. We're called to fan it into flame. Verse 6, NIV. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you, and he bothers to tell us, through the laying on of my hands, Paul says. The fire is the potential. The spark is there. But you and I have the tools that God desires to use in our lives. Notice Paul tells Timothy, because of the spark, because of the heritage that you have, because I believe also, Timothy, that it is alive in you. This is the reason that you, Timothy, are called to fan into flame the very gift of God that is in you. What is this gift? You might ask, what is this gift? This is an interesting word in the Greek language. It's an interesting word. It's the word charisma. You have this charisma, Timothy. You have it in you. It's a word that means simply this: the favor one receives without any merit of its own. The favor one receives without any merit of his own. A gift of divine grace. It is a gift of faith, knowledge, holiness, and virtue that God plants inside of you. Gifts denoting extraordinary power by divine grace. Listen, I don't know about you, but I know when I get ready to do things for God, sometimes I get ready to do things that are a whole lot bigger than me. You know? They're a whole lot bigger than me. Sometimes my mama says to me, she says, oh, son, when you preach, you just, you just act like it's just so easy. I said, shh, Mama, you have no clue. She said, what do you mean? I said, I get nervous every time. I got nervous this morning. I get butterflies in my stomach. I get uneasy feelings. I get the wonderings of how this is going to go. What's it going to come out like? How's it going to sound? Is it going to impact the lives of people? You know what? We need to shut our mouth when we proclaim the word of God. It will impact the lives of people. It will find a lodging place in some of your hearts today. Some of you today, you got a spark, and all you got to do is fan it into flame. So I understand how we feel when we talk about anxiety over ministry. I know it all too well, but God has placed inside of me divine giftings that are bigger than my own abilities. God has placed inside of you divine giftings that are bigger than any ability that you already have, and He wants to fan those things into flame in your life. You must, and I must understand, we start with potential. It's the spark because we're the child of God, we're a Christ follower. But Paul tells Timothy, you got to fan this into flame. Notice, he tells him, you fan it into flame, okay? Look, it's not something you understand. Well, I'm just going to wait until this spark becomes a fire. I'm an example. Yeah, you can start a fire, okay? I've started some unintentional ones. But I'm telling you as a whole, God expects for you to do what? Come on, here we go. He expects you to fan into flame inside of your life. Inside of your spirit, man, those things that He has planted inside of you. Some of you have sit here this morning and maybe you've been used in ministry before, but it's been a long time. Maybe you've preached the gospel, but you haven't done it in a long time. Maybe you've witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ to somebody, but you haven't done it in a long time. Maybe you've lifted your hands in worship, but you haven't done it in a long time. God's calling you this day, this hour, to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. He wants you to be on fire for Him. He wants your life burning as a passion and desire, an example for what God can do in the lives of people who follow Him. I love the King James Version here in this verse. You know what it says? It says, stir it up, man. The King James says, stir up the gift of God which is in thee. And then he goes on and says, by the putting on of my hands. Stir it up, stir it up. Take that step of faith. Take the risk. Open your mouth. Speak the word. Lay hands on the sick. Proclaim the truth. Preach the word of God. Do what you can to fulfill God's leadership upon your life. Fan into flame that divine potential that you have in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's in you. Not only is He in you because of your heritage of godly fathers and mothers or spiritual moms and dads, but you've had hands laid on you. Some of you will come to this altar at the end of the service today, and someone's going to lay their hands on you. Look, don't look at that lightly, because you know what I believe happens? I believe that when the men of God, the women of God lay hands on us, God is well capable of, here we go, imparting spiritual giftings that are beyond us, from our life to your life, from His power to your power, from His character to your character. Impartation, it's a powerful thing. God can impart powerful things. You know, I have what I have in my life as following after real estate and having properties that we use to bless people in ministry. Pastor Joy and I were in a meeting one time, and we were sitting about where Pastor Mike and Bonnie are, and there was a well-known preacher there, and he was preaching away, and I was very fond of him, and there were thousands of people there, and all of a sudden he looks at me and he says, stand up. And so I did what most of us do. I look around to make sure he's really talking about me. Come on. And I go, me? And he said, yeah, stand up. And he comes over to me and he says, come here for a second. And he says, listen, I've never done this before, except maybe one or two times. He said, I really can't remember. I know maybe one, maybe two. But he said, I want to pray over you because I believe, here we go, that God wants to impart to you a gifting that He's given me that I've been able to be blessed by in ministry and in my personal life. And I said, well, hey, I go for it, okay? I'm available. I'm here. So I stand up, and he says, now what I want to pray over you is a real estate anointing. A real estate anointing. What is that? He said, well, God has given me, not a dime, has given me multiple properties that was just dropped in my lap. I didn't pay a dime for them. People got in touch with me and gave me properties. I said, okay. Can I just tell you something? It wasn't long, just a few months after that, after he prayed that prayer, it wasn't long before I was bargaining, making a deal to purchase a property that we've used since 2011 called the Barnabas property over in the Chowan River to be a blessing to people who are in Christian leadership. It was on the market for $379,000, and I paid $210,000 for it. You say, well, I thought he was going to give you properties. Oh, just hold on. I got a visitor one day who came into the office, and he says, hey, he says, I like what you do. He said, have you got a minute? I said, sure, sit down. And we talked. And he said, I have 6 acres of property on the Chowan River in Edenton, North Carolina. And he said, I've been praying about this. I like what you do, and I want to give it to you. And I was like, say what? He said, I said, 6 acres? He said, yes. And he said, I'll even pay for the attorney fees. I'll take care of it. All I know is I'm supposed to give you this property. About 2 years ago, I got a telephone call from a man who was 80 years old. He calls me up and he says, hey, a preacher told me about you. He said, are you the one that has property that blesses people who are in ministry? I said, yes. He said, I have a piece of property on the Albemarle Sound. And he said, I don't use it, and I'm in my 80s, and I know I'm near death. He said, and I don't have any kids. He said, could I give it to you? Okay. Come on, y'all. Could I give it to you? I said, sure. A couple in Florida, Fort Lauderdale. I preached at their church many, many years ago and shared testimony about how we were able to bless people in ministry with a place to stay. She tells her pastor after we leave, she says, look, my husband and I own a timeshared property in a little place in Florida called Weston, just outside of Fort Lauderdale. We've used it all of our lives. We don't want it anymore. We live here in Florida now. Do you think you could get in touch with him? We'd like to give it to him. I think y'all are hard of hearing this morning. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen, God has giftings. God has spiritual giftings. And you say, well, I thought spiritual things were spirit. Listen, God has giftings on people's lives to do certain things and to be a blessing in certain ways. And so when I started looking at, hey, I'm going to be entering here retirement in a few years, so God, what am I going to do? You know, I was late building a house. I made my first house payment when I was 49. I wouldn't advise anybody to do that. Usually you have them paid for when you're 49. I made my first one at 49, and when I left the bank in the lawyer's office that day, I went, wait a minute, 49, 30-year mortgage, 59, 69, 79. You mean I'm going to be making house payments at 79 years old? And God has used something in the realm of anointing to help me speed that up. And I started a little real estate business. I said, God, what would I do if I was going to earn some extra money to help pay this thing ahead so I don't make payments at 79 years old? He said, well, do what I've already anointed you to do. I said, what? He said, real estate. And God has blessed me with that. Why? Because it's a spiritual gifting. You say, well, man, I wish I had that. You can have it. I wish I could do this. You can do this. I wish I could do that. You can do that. Ask the Lord if the spark is there. This is what you need to do. Okay, Lord. Okay, I'm going to fan into flame. Whatever it is, preaching the gospel, teaching kids in school, working with special needs children, whatever God has placed in your heart, you need spiritual gifting to accomplish it. Come on, y'all. You can't do it by yourself. But the spark is there, and he wants you to fan into flame the gift of God. That is where? It's in you. Thirdly and finally, yeah, we all have a spark. And yes, we're all called to fan it into flame. And thirdly and finally, what? We all face the spirit of fear. Some of you are saying, some of you heard what I said. Some of you heard it before. You thought, well, yeah, but he's a preacher. God's blessing him because he's a preacher. God doesn't bless me because I'm a preacher. Okay? God blesses me because I'm his child. What are you? You are his what? You're his child. He's no respecter of persons. If he bless me, he'll bless you. If he bless you, he'll bless the next person. God is wanting to open the windows of heaven and pour out blessing upon your life. Blessings abundant above upon your life. We all face a spirit of fear. For the spirit God gave us, here's what it's talking about here. For the spirit God gave us does not make us timid. But what does it do? It gives us power, it gives us love, and it gives us self-discipline. The King James says this, for God hath not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. There's a natural tendency for all of us to buckle, to give way under pressure. I know people who've started new business ventures. I know people who've started a new job, and the first day on it, they're texting like, hey, remember me, man. Today's my first day. I'm kind of anxious. I'm kind of nervous. Come on, y'all. You know what I'm talking about? Absolutely. Because when you do something new, when you do something that's a step of faith, sometimes you'll come face to face with the spirit of what? A spirit of fear. But God says, listen, I'm not giving you that. God doesn't get, so where does it come from? Where does the spirit of fear come from? It comes from the devil, the enemy of your soul. He's not giving you a spirit of fear. God has given you power, love, and a sound mind. What does that mean? What does power mean? What do you mean, Pastor? He's given you the dynamics of the Holy Spirit. He's given you the ability to discern when to do this, how to do this, who I should do this with, what are the steps that I should take. Those are dynamics that God gives us. And he's given us love. He's given us the ability to unconditionally work with people and be what? Free from judgment. We can be free from judgment and free from condition. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but everybody's not like you. Did you notice that? Everybody's not like you. We are all different. And God has unique giftings and ability. I wouldn't do it the way you do it. And guess what? You wouldn't do it the way I do it. But you trust God to give the increase on whatever it is you put your hands to. Okay? Be careful, man. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get my real estate license. Be careful. Be careful. Don't do something just because somebody else did it. Well, he's blessing him, and he told me that God will bless me too. You better know because you know because you know. I thought ministry, I had seen everything under the sun. And then I went into real estate. Can I just tell you something that's the truth? Pastor Joy can tell you. The most difficult people I have ever dealt with in my entire life are not with the church. It's with selling houses. The most complex situations I've ever been in my entire life has just been the last few years of dealing with people in real estate. I met new devils, new demons that I didn't even know existed. I've been through things in ministry that have kept me up for some sleepless nights, but I've never dealt with anything like I've dealt with since I've been dealing with a little bit in the real estate business. Be careful what you say. I'm going to do that because it looks so easy. Oh, you just sell the house and receive the check. Yeah, right. Okay? Be careful. Make sure you can discern what it is God is saying to you. Where's your spark? Where's the fan? Where's the flame that you need to fan into flame? What is it, God, that you've uniquely called me to do? Because I promise you, you will have the enemy if you declare what you're going to do. For the kingdom of God and for the betterment of your own personal life, I can promise you there'll be a devil there waiting to challenge you. But he's given you power. He's given you spiritual dynamics. He's given you love. He's given you the ability to be judgment-free and love unconditionally. And he's given you a sound mind. What is a sound mind? This is a word that is translated self-disciplines. God has given you the ability to discipline yourself. to have self-disciplines that will help you fulfill what it is that God's called you to do. These all lead to what? Confidence. God wants you to be a confident people, confident to do what you believe in your heart of hearts that He has called you to do. I believe in this room today that there are some people that are struggling with what it is God wants you to do. Maybe you're at that crossroads. Maybe you're getting ready to graduate. Maybe you're in the 10th grade. Maybe you're a senior. Maybe you're standing right in the face of what it is God wants you to do, and you're so confused. You don't know what you want to do. Can I just tell you something? God knows where you need to be. God knows what you need to be doing, and God has the ability to give you the dynamics, to give you the wherewithal of where you're heading, to give you the discernment to say, hey, Lord, I'm leaning into you, and I hear you say, this is the way. Walk ye in it. God can lead you. God can guide you. Some of you may be 60 years old thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do when I grow up. Listen, maybe you just hadn't found your niche yet. Can I just tell you something? It's not too late. It's never too late for God to birth something inside of you and move it to a level that you never thought possible. Amen? When I witnessed, not as a boy, but as a grown man, I witnessed the skill to start a fire intentionally. I could easily move forward today and start one myself. Gather the ingredients. Make sure I've got a good surface. Make sure I've got airflow, dry kindling. Strike the match. Give it a little air. Just give it a little help. Don't blow too much, or what happened? You'll blow it out. Just do the right things. Get it rolling. Fan it into what? Flame. There's so many things I believe God wants to do today. I'm going to ask my ministers to come. Pastors, ministers, elders, leaders, would you please come? Stand in the front here. I'm going to ask those of you that are here today to just examine your heart. Lord, where am I on this journey of life? For some of you today, maybe a spark of salvation, just to say, you know what, I just need to get some things right. I just need to get some things in order. For some of you, it might be a spark of maybe God inspired you while I was preaching today. Maybe God inspired you to say, hey, you know what? I don't need to be working for these other people. I need to be working for myself. God, you've always placed it in my heart. Listen, if He's placed it in your heart, go after it. But I'm afraid. I get that. The Word says you're going to face that. But you follow His voice. You follow His voice. Some of you may be here today and there's the spark of ministry in your life. You know full well God's hand is on your life. And you feel ministry is in your future. But you're somewhat confused. And you really don't know exactly which way to go. Can I just tell you this spiritual gifting right here at this altar? There are people right here ready, willing to pray with you. Believe God for you. Believe God with you. Would you stand together? Let's sing. And would you slip out of your seat and just come and allow one of these precious men or women of God to pray with you? Just slip out right where you are. Let's believe God today to meet us where we are. That's right. Just come on. Others have come, and that's right. Just come on. Find you someone to pray with you. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let God minister to you today. Let Him minister to you today.
Surrender me, Lord.
Set of words there. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way in me. Have your way in me. Lord, not my way, but your way. That's why I said you must be careful. You must have the ear to discern, the eye to see what it is the Lord is saying to you. Lord, have your way in me. And fan into flame the gift of God. It's in you, friends. Come on, lay your hand on your chest. Say, it's in me. It's in me. It's in me. Some of you don't know where you're going next because of circumstances, things that have happened, life disappointments. I'm telling you, it's in you. It's in you. It's in you. And it's up to you. You say, how do I fan the flame? Get into the Word of God. Seek the Word of God. Worship God. Put on the worship music in your car, in your home, wherever you are. Worship God, because every time you do that, you're positioning yourself to line up with God's plans for your life. Here I am, Lord. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your directives for me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, have your way. Have your way in me. I want you to have a seat for just a moment. We have just a few more minutes. Today's a Mission Sunday. We want to share with you a way that you can touch the hearts and lives of young people. Pastor Mike's coming here to the platform. I don't know if you know it or not, but even since the Israel war broke out, on one of our campuses, not the best one, I've graduated from the best one, that's NC State down in Raleigh, but on one of our campuses, this is light blue, y'all, come on, UNC, on Carolina campus, just even a week ago, turmoil. From a war worlds away, turmoil breaking out on college campuses. And on college campuses, there needs to be a voice for the kingdom of God. And so I want you to open your ears and your heart today. We'll have what's called a missions window. Just be a few minutes for you to look inside of another missionary's life and leave here today with at least a sense of prayer and burden for them. Pastor Mike, God bless you, sir.
Praise God. I warned our guests this morning that there were some ravaging wolves here. But we're prepared for it. Yes, we had the opportunity to have with us this morning Seth and his wife, Brooke. I guess Brooke and Judah having their own prayer time. But this precious couple has moved from Connecticut to North Carolina to serve Jesus through Chi Alpha. And they have taken over from Joe Newell the Chi Alpha there at UNC in Chapel Hill. And so I'm going to take a lot of time. But Seth and Micah, you coming up, or are you going to stay with Miss Bonnie? And I'm going to let him tell you about their ministry. Is everybody coming? Come on. Here you go. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Carpenter Shop. Good to be here. My name is Seth, and as Pastor Mike was saying, this is my wife, Brooke, and this is our 18-month-old Jude, and this is my son, Micah, who is 4 years old, and we're just so happy to be here. I want to tell you a really quick story. I want you guys to meet a young man named Stephen. Can we, everyone say hi, Stephen. He can't hear you, by the way, just so you know. Anyway, when I met Stephen, he was a sophomore at UNC, and we began meeting up and just having a wonderful time talking and learning about the Lord together. And as I met with him, I learned several different things. I learned that he came from a Christian household, that his parents would identify as Christian, and that Stephen also would identify as Christian. And the longer that we talked and the longer that we got to hang out and know one another, I learned that he was one to Christ, but he was not necessarily being built into a disciple, to use some carpenter shop language there for you guys. And I knew that we needed to work through some things. And so what we started doing is that we started going through the Gospels. We started reading through and just looking at what Jesus said and did and how his followers responded. We began looking at Christian thinkers like C.S. Lewis, and we would read his books like Mere Christianity and Screwtape Letters. We did a lot of things. We did practical things, just like prayer walking across campus and just praying over classes and praying over buildings and praying over young men that we've been trying to reach that had shown an interest in Chi Alpha, but for whatever reason had not come to anything yet. And Stephen grew in friendships with other Christian guys in the ministry, and he was just so excited to be part of that. He would come to weekly gatherings, and he even went on a mission trip to Zanzibar, and I was just like super pumped for him to have that experience, and he did so well with it. And we just learned a whole lot about him, and it was a wonderful, wonderful time. But as we kept talking and kept talking, there were some things that Stephen hadn't necessarily given over in his life. And to not go into too much detail, he had a very complicated relationship with his mom. Anytime that they talked, it was not good. Some very strong worded arguments, just messy is the word to put it. And I knew that we needed to reconcile that. And it didn't come easy, and it didn't come quickly. It felt like we had a year of conversations that we talked about through this. And so we addressed themes like grace and mercy and forgiveness and just loving people when we don't feel like it through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. And eventually, I began to see that the bitterness that Stephen had harbored toward his mom began to fall away. And I began to see that Stephen was coming into a place where he felt like he could reconcile his relationship with his mom. And so he finally did that, and I was so happy for him that he was able to do that. Fast forward about a year or so, and Stephen calls me in February and says, "Hey, guess what?" I said, "What?" And he's like, "I want to be baptized." And I thought, "Oh man, that's so cool, awesome." I'm a little surprised that he hadn't been baptized yet, but I'm also just super grateful that he called me to do it. And so around April, we go out to Jordan Lake, and there in front of all of his friends, all of his family, and just people there that were there to support him, he publicly declared his faith in Jesus Christ as I baptized him there. And the thing that was so special for me, when he came up out of the water, people were cheering and clapping, and a couple tears were shed. The thing that was so special to me was that his parents were there, and just seeing him embracing his mom, it just kind of brought everything full circle. So cool. I want to come back to the story in a second. At UNC, there are thousands of Stephens on campus. People who would say that they're one and that they're currently being built so that they can be sent out, but then there are others, which is the majority, that don't have a relationship with God and aren't looking for a relationship with the Lord more, actually go out of their way to avoid campus ministries out there. And so it's a tough ground, but we feel called to be there. We feel called to lead and share the gospel with those that who are looking, that, as Pastor Wallace has said, that they have the spark inside of them, and they're looking to be part of a ministry like Chi Alpha to get that fanned into flame. Yeah, and so we're there. There's 30,000 students at UNC, which is quite a lot. There's probably maybe 20 to 25 campus ministries, but if you were to put all of us together, we would probably be less than 1,000, which is kind of sad when you think about the 30,000 that are on there, on the campus. And so we're there to just show the love of Jesus to people. And as I said earlier, you don't have to look too far into the news to realize that Jesus is coming back very soon. We have to be prepared, and we have to be ready. And for us, our hearts would break if we did not do all that we could to reach UNC's campus. That it would be a dear shame if those students didn't get to have the opportunity to welcome Jesus into their life and have eternal salvation, beginning to have the magnificent joy of spending time with the Lord forever. And so that's why we do what we do. We do all this through Chi Alpha, which is a campus ministry arm of the Assemblies of God. And we do this through practices like prayer, worship, fellowship, discipleship, mission, and much, much, much more. And it's a wonderful thing. And yeah, you can hear more about it in a second. But I want to come back to Stephen's story there for a second. Stephen today is doing wonderful. He is still loving the Lord. He is a graduate now, and he recently had moved across the country to a new place, and he was just doing so well. And he even texted me recently and said that he was very excited to find a Pentecostal church that he could be part of. And in his words, it's like Chi Alpha, but with older people. So that was really cool. And, you know, he's involved in a small group, and yeah, just doing great. And yeah, our hearts are for people like him, people that don't know Jesus, that we have to find ways to get involved. And yeah, that's why we do what we do. We will be outside very quickly at the end of the service here to talk with you if you'd like to hear more about what we do. You can also just visit us on the web at sethandbrooke.com. Yeah, thank you guys for hosting us today. Thank you for Pastor Joel for taking us out to dinner last night, and Pastor Mike for taking us out for breakfast and having them host us, and Pastor Wallace for giving us the window here today. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Before we receive an offering, I do want to share one little bit that they left out that I think is extremely significant. They came here from Connecticut. They served in Chi Alpha at Yale to come to North Carolina. But before they came, doctors told them they would never conceive and have a child. Well, they're no stranger to miracles. Two of them. So we feel, and the Assemblies of God feel, is extremely important to maintain, first of all, the Christian influence from families on college campuses, but yet to reach and save the lost. So what you're doing is helping believing young men and women women continue to believe and to raise up an army out of our college campuses. And you know how liberal university life is. So your gifts today will be a great benefit to them. So I'm going to ask you all to stand with me as we prepare to give. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the ministry that Seth and Brooke have dedicated themselves to. And Lord, we want to see your blessing upon that ministry. We want to see the numbers grow this year and continue to grow on and on and on right there at UNC. And we ask you, Lord, to bless them in every aspect of the ministry that you've called them to, and bless their family and bless their finances. Just make a way where there seems to be no way. You are a way maker, and we give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and slip out before you catch me.